I just feel the Holy Ghost here right now. Amen. Anybody in the room feel the Spirit of the Lord? I've felt Him all day long moving in our service. Amen. Would you put your hands up and just magnify Him? Amen. He is worthy. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of our God. Blessed be the name of our Savior. Hallelujah. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy to be praised. Amen. Blessed be the name of Jesus. We exalt you. We magnify you. Amen. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I feel the Lord in the house. Spirit of God is here. It's awesome to be worshiping with you. Amen. I wouldn't go any further without saying it's awesome to have Sister Filer. Amen. A great woman of God with us. Amen. It's an honor to have you worshiping today. And holy moly, did you see that Katie Filer and the grandkids and that whole herd of beautiful children? What an awesome, awesome group. Amen. It's amazing to have. I see her. Amen. And you look at them, you say, well, that's a Filer. Well, that's a Filer. There goes a Filer. We've got six Filers running around, or seven Filers running around, and actually including Mom. Amen. A beautiful family. And when I saw the boys, they're 12 and 14, and I'm looking at them up like that, I think. Asked how old they were, and they told me they were 12 and 14. It was amazing. I got a picture with them and sent it to their grandpa already today, so he'd know that they're in church where they belong, and I got to see them. Amen. It's really awesome to have you here today. I'm very thankful that you are. Amen. We love them. They're just stopping through. She's from Martinsville, and I have been friends with her mom and dad for 100 years, I think. It's been a long time, and watched her grow up as a little girl at camp and all of that. So we've been great friends, and it's awesome to have you here with us, with your family. Amen. And your grandma. Amen. It's awesome that all of them are here. Praise God. And you, why don't you turn on somebody next to you and say, man, you look good. Nellie Wells is here. Amen. So I've made it no secret that I am a fan of history, particularly and mainly biblical history. I find it fascinating because I find, I grew up, let me put it this way, I grew up listening to archaeologists tell us that there's no evidence of David, there's no evidence of Solomon, there's no evidence of Saul. There's no evidence of some of the great kings in the Old Testament. There's no physical evidence. And if you can't find, there's a movement on in biblical studies that if you can't find physical evidence, then it's unlikely that the conclusion is it's unlikely that it had ever existed. And so even in the 1800s, there was a movement on to say the Bible is not accurate. It's not truthful, because historically you can't prove some of the things that happened in Scripture. You can't find a marking. You can't find some piece of physical evidence. Of course, a lot of physical evidence deteriorates over time, and it's only such things as pottery or maybe engravings in stone that would last and endure the test of time. So I find it interesting when you find that in northern Israel, in the Galilee region, on the north side of the Sea of Galilee, in Capernaum, there is a synagogue. They found it and determined that it was a first century synagogue, and that it's likely that Jesus worshiped in that synagogue. They believe across the street from the synagogue is Peter's mother-in-law's house, and they found that, and it was identified early in history that Peter's mother-in-law lived in that house, and they built a monument. Actually, they built a Greek Orthodox church over Peter's mother-in-law's house, and they built it up on pillars, so the Greek Orthodox church is hanging in the air, and it is as a protectant or a roof over the top of Peter's mother-in-law's house, where they went in and Peter prayed the prayer for his mother-in-law, and she was healed. And Jesus came into the house with them and prayed the prayer, and she was healed. So they found that archaeological evidence, and they found in the synagogue that in the back step, there's a back doorway in, out of the synagogue. And a few years ago, someone said, you know, we need to fix up, we need to improve this. There's a lot of people go through the synagogue today, and we don't want it to wear out. So the back step looked a little suspect. And so they picked up the back step thinking, well, maybe we'll put a replacement in or do something like that. And when they picked it up, they found a bag of gold. Gold coins from the first century that had been stored at some point. And if you know history, the Romans came in the 68 to 70 AD and began a wholesale slaughter of the Jews and a wholesale destruction of all the buildings and all the cities of Israel, because they felt like Israel was in rebellion. And so people would hide their gold, and someone at some point took a bag and opened up the back stoop and stuffed a bag of gold coins underneath the back stoop, and then put the stoop back in so they would be able to maybe flee, maybe escape, maybe somehow get away from judgment. But at some point in the future, they had hopes of coming back and finding that gold coin, and they never did. It's likely that they were either murdered or driven out and died long before they could ever come back into the land of Israel to find it. So some gentleman thinking, I'm going to improve this so a guest does not hurt themselves on this broken stoop, found a bag of gold that had coins that identified it as a first century gold coin worth hundreds of thousands and even millions of dollars inside a leather bag. Today, I want to talk about the leather bag. I want to talk about the vase that holds the treasure. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. We're going to read down through verse 12, if you'll read with me on the screen. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He's writing, we can see the glory of God when we look at the face of Jesus Christ. I would remind you, they saw the face of Jesus Christ in the midnight hour. They saw the face of Jesus Christ sitting around the breakfast table. They saw the face of Jesus Christ teaching. They saw the face of Jesus Christ praying over the sick and seeing the dead rise. They saw the face of Jesus Christ standing in the synagogue teaching. They saw the face of Jesus Christ when the roof was torn open and a man was lowered down. And the crowd began to say, what is he going to do? Is he going to heal on the Sabbath? What a horrible thing that would be, that he would heal on the Sabbath. And yet he confronted them and demanded to know if they would loose a donkey or release a donkey or a cow that had fallen into a pit. Would you get it out on the Sabbath? Surely you would. And what greater could I do but then release this child of God from the bondage of their difficulty, from the bondage of their paralysis? What greater thing, amen, would this be? How much greater does God care for men and women than he does for your cattle and your horses and your other things that you own in your life? And they said, I see the face of God in the man Jesus Christ. When we look at Jesus, but I would remind you, they saw the face of Jesus after it had been beaten. They saw the face of Jesus after he had been whipped. They saw the face of Jesus. The Bible says that he had been disfigured, that he would be unrecognizable because of the abuse he had taken at the whip and the stick and the hand and the slaps, that his face, his visage, the Bible uses the word, would be marred. They saw his face. They stood, some close and some at a distance, and watched the face of a man die, the light leave his eyes, the breath leave his body. They saw him as he breathed his last and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they saw mercy in his eyes. They saw grace in his face. They saw love for the people that were abusing him. They saw forgiveness for the people that slew him. They saw mercy for the man who had the spear in his hand that drove it through his side. And they said, I see the face of God. I see the presence of the Almighty in the face of Jesus Christ. He has shown the light in the darkness. You notice the Bible does not spend a great deal of time talking about the darkness. The focus of Scripture is not on the darkness. It's not on the difficulty. It is not acknowledging that there are difficulties. It doesn't ignore the fact that there are troubles. It doesn't ignore the fact that there is a great darkness that tries to invade itself upon the earth. But the priority of Scripture is that there is a light that shines in darkness. There is a light, amen, that no darkness can hold against. No darkness can stand up against. There is no sin, amen, that can hold you back from the goodness and the glory of God. Hear me as I preach to you. There is nothing that you cannot overcome. There is no difficulty that can stop you. I heard today Mary, amen, young, sweet Mary that used to attend our church has been wrestling with, and we've referenced it, and her mom mentioned to me just a few minutes ago in service, and I'm so thankful that she did, that Mary has been in rehab for about 90 days and is drug-free for 90 days. Amen. She's been attending a church where she can attend church. Amen. But they're going to let her come to our church, we believe, next weekend. And I'm praying that I see Mary walk in our door. We've been praying for Mary. Amen. I'm telling you, it would be an absolute miracle, I think. Amen. And we ought to rejoice and give God all the thanks for Mary to be back in church and living for God. We've been praying for that. We've been believing God for that. And I'm telling you, you can wrestle against addiction all you want, but I'm preaching to you. Amen. It's more important that you look at the face of Jesus and you see His power and His glory and His mercy. Amen. He is able to pick us up out of the miry clay and set our feet on a rock to stay. Amen. I'm telling you, the glory of God in the face of Jesus. But listen as we read on. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The power may be of God and not of us. We're troubled, verse 8, on every side. We're having conversations. We mentioned my mother-in-law has a very aggressive form of leukemia. And my son's mother-in-law has a very aggressive form of leukemia. And they found there's a something there that when you find it, it lowers the chance of her being able to recover. The percentages are much lower because of something that she has, and I can't explain it all. I looked it up and read it on the internet, but I don't have the details of it here, and it doesn't really matter. It's a large battle for her to go through. And you read, we're troubled on every side. Who in the room is not troubled? Who in the room does not have difficulties? Who in the room? Who in the room? Who in the room does not have challenges? Who in the room does not have fears? Who in the room does not feel beset by, have unanswered questions in your life, have unformed difficulties, uncertainties that you're maybe troubled? And Paul acknowledges it. We're troubled on every side. But listen to what else he said. Yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. How can we, amen, who are alive, how can we who walk in life not acknowledge the reason that we're able to walk in life is because of His death, because of what He accomplished. Amen. It is not of me. The Bible says that we are just earthen vessels. I bought this a few years ago when I went down to preach in Peru. I thought it a beautiful piece of pottery. The black and white, and now it's kind of faded on that one side. Maybe it's been in the sun, and so I'll turn it around so it's a little black and white. And I thought this was really cool. So I bought all of our board members different pieces of pottery. Every time I see this, I think of Peru. And I think the people down there in the revival that they want to have, and the difficulty and the challenges that I'm aware of that they've had since the last time I was down there. And I pray, amen, for the country of Peru, because they're tested on every side. They're challenged by the difficulties But when you talk to Zoraida's dad, every time I've talked to him, amen, and it's been a while, been several years now since I've talked to him, it's always, he's always accomplishing something else. He's always moving the kingdom of God forward, amen, despite the challenges, despite the difficulties, amen. I want you to let me finish reading the scripture so I can preach. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. For we which lived are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So death worketh in us, and life in you. I want to preach for a few minutes. What will this treasure do with me? Would you pray with me that the Lord would help us today? God, I thank you for your goodness and your mercy. I thank you, Lord, for the love of God, the mercy of God that I feel in this place, the strength of the Holy Ghost, to accomplish, God, not what I want, but what you want. I pray, God, that you would undergird us. Amen. That you would strengthen us for the journeys that we all face. I pray, God, that we would never forget that our difficulties overcome bring glory to you. God, and you want to bring us through our difficulties. You want to deliver our miracles. God, you want to make a way. I pray, God, that we would walk from this room today emboldened by faith, anointed by confidence. God, that you make a way, and it's for your purpose that we live. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody said amen. John 8:32 says the truth shall set us free. The idea that God does not curse the darkness. God said, let light shine out of darkness. The only way that we have what we have is he shined the light into the darkness of my heart. The only way out of my personal darkness is by his light shining into my life. Amen. By his grace and mercy revealing himself to me. And he's continued to reveal himself to me more and more and more as I live for him. God continues to open himself up. Amen. The Bible talks about here little, there little. Amen. Just a little bit at a time, God continues to reveal who he is and what he wants to accomplish in our lives. He continues to drive out the darkness. Amen. Paul wrote in 4 and 5, for we preach is not of us. I wish people could understand. Preachers are not trying to, well, most preachers are not trying to preach about themselves, even if they use personal examples and for instances. Amen. But really, really, we're trying to say that it's not about the vessel. You see, we're just earthen vessels. We're just all made of clay. Amen. The gold and the treasure and the gifts that they find in antiquities are often bound in vases. Years ago, there was a little boy who took a rock, was looking for the sheep that he had lost. And so he found a cave, and it had a kind of collapsed in the top of it, so there was a little hole in the cave, and he thought he'd throw a little rock down in the hole and see if he could get his sheep. Maybe his sheep had fallen into the hole, and see if he'd get them to bleat. And so he threw a rock down in, and instead of his sheep bleating, he heard the sound of a tink. Threw another rock, and he heard another tink, and it sounded like pottery. So he went and got his dad, and they came back with a rope and lowered themselves by rope, and they found a bunch of much larger pots than this, but a bunch of pottery. And they reached inside, pulled the lids off, and inside they found leather, sheets of leather. And they thought, well, what is this good for? And they looked at it closely, and it had some kind of writing on it. They didn't know what it was, and so it didn't mean anything to them. But the leather, they thought the leather itself would be valuable. And so they took it in and found a guy that made shoes. And they asked him, would this leather be valuable to make shoes? And he said, sure. And so he bought the leather, the pieces that they brought him. They bought it, said, if you find any more, let me know, and I'll buy that as well. So the leather guy, going to make shoes, was showing off to somebody the leather that he had bought. And that person knew another person who worked at the university in archaeology. And he said, let me go check with my friend. And he went to the archaeology department in Jerusalem and found a Jewish archaeologist and said, you need to come and take a look at this leather. He drove over. They showed him the leather, and it was some of the Old Testament that had been in that vessel from before Jesus' time, before 4 BC. You know them. They're called the Dead Sea Scrolls. And they went and bought up every piece that the man had, and they went back to the original farmer who led them to the hole in the ground, and they climbed down in, and they found vase after vase after vase. Some of it was financial reports. Some of it was just inventory lists. Some of it was the rules of the Essene community in which it was found, what to do and what not to do. It was just a collection of stuff. But because of that, they found almost every book of the Old Testament written before the time of Jesus Christ, so over 2,000 years old. At the time when they found it, the oldest copy of the Old Testament that we had was from about 980 AD, almost 1,000 years after that. So they went and picked up the 4 BC or 100 BC copy, and they laid it next to the 1000 AD copy, and they laid them side by side, and they were almost identical, except for a few jots or tittles, or maybe they changed the spelling of an individual's name. Now, I told you that. What's the most valuable thing that I've told you in that story? Let me ask you, was it the pots that they were in? Or was it what was in the pot? Was it the bag hidden under the stoop? Or was it the gold inside the bag? If you study archaeology, you read anything, there's a magazine called Archaeology, the Biblical Archaeology Today, and it comes out every 2 or 3 months, and man, it's just full of very, very interesting articles, and it's all about biblical, what does this mean, and who is this about, and they found all kinds of stuff. They found a ring on the Temple Mount recently from the first century. They found the name Hezekiah. They found several of the kings. They found several of the scribes that the Bible references from the 800s and the 600s. And they found all of this information that proves not just that there was a person with that name, but it is in the rubble that they've dug out of the Temple Mount. When the Arabs were trying to clean out the Temple Mount, they were trying to find what's underneath the temple, and there's all kinds of rooms underneath the platform of the temple. And they were trying to clean all that out. The Arabs thought, well, this is just trash. Maybe we can clean this out and we can get more money by letting people walk through these areas. So they just took out and dumped on the side of a hill some distance outside of Jerusalem, all the rubble, all the trash. And Israel has been going to that trash dump, that trash heap from the Temple Mount, and they've been sifting through it very, very carefully. And they're finding preachers, prophets, priests, scribes, kings. They're finding their seals where they would seal with a king's ring in wet clay, and they're finding the king's seal there, and they're finding it in the rubble. I'm telling you, there is gold inside the rubble of your difficulty, inside the problems that you face. Amen. There is a Spirit of God. Paul said, amen, we're just earthen vessels. I wish you would understand that principle. We're just earthen vessels. It really doesn't matter about us. It really doesn't matter about me. But it really does matter if I've got the Holy Ghost living inside of me. It really does matter, because that's going to... It's a Spirit of God that accomplishes the things that my world needs to be accomplished. It's a Spirit of God that saves men. It's a Spirit of God that heals men. It's a Spirit of God that leads and guides my footstep. Amen. It's a Spirit of God that accomplishes all the great things that we need. And he even goes so far as to say, he died so I can live. And then he said, and we died so you can live. Some say, well, that's grand rhetoric. But I would submit to you that every single apostle, every single man that Jesus handpicked and had walk beside him, and everyone that saw his face, they saw him weep. They saw him bleed. They saw him touch the untouchable. Every single one of them spent the rest of their life saying, I saw him heal. I saw him touch. I saw him embrace. I saw him love. I was there when they brought the woman who deserved to be stoned because of her adultery, according to Jewish law. I saw him not stone her. I saw him forgive her. I saw, amen, they were, as Acts 1 says in verse 8, ye shall be witnesses of me. Amen. You've got to say, I saw, amen. It is our job and responsibility, amen, to be the vessel that carries the testimony of what we see, amen, the glory of God released in our earth today, the glory of God. And that God would house it in an old, ugly, earthen vessel. That God would wrap his glory in clay like me. Occasionally, architects will find some truth on the pottery. There's some design. I thought it was funny, I told the guys this when I brought these home. I bought it in Peru, and Target at the time had a markets from around the world. And one or two of the vases that I'd packed in my suitcase and put my clothes around, all the stuff that we had around so they wouldn't break, a couple of them broke. And I was so disappointed, because I wanted to give all of our board members one of those. And I walked into Target before it was the day that I was giving them away. And you know what I saw? The exact, not similar, the exact same vases that I had bought in Peru. And they had a Peruvian market at Target. And do you know, want to know how much I paid for this vase? I don't remember exactly, but it's probably 20 or 25 bucks. Do you know how much Target had them for? 25 bucks. I didn't even have to go to Peru to get them. I just had to go to Target. And so I went to Target and I bought one or two of them, and I don't know who has that. This may be one of them, because I wouldn't want our board members to have the Target one, so I bought the one, I think, and kept it. At least I think that's true. Yeah, there's a Target ad right there. This one is a little more expensive. It says it was $34.99 at Target. So it was funny to me that you could buy the exact same thing. And I've never seen them since, and Target's never done it since. But on that trip, I came home, and I was able to give our board members. And I hope they still look at this and think about Peru. And think about, and I know you didn't have the experiences that I had, but man, we took our youth group down on one trip and did a crusade. And Ruby, I'll never forget Kate being in Peru with us. And she told my wife tried to speak Spanish. And Kate told my wife, what are you trying to say? And my wife told her in English. And she said, Sister Johnson, you just need to not talk. Don't try and speak Spanish at all. I'll do that for you. And from then on, Kate translated for us into Spanish with whatever Spanish she had. It's not, sometimes we get so caught up in what the vessel goes through. And this scripture is trying to give us the thought and the idea, amen. But it's, if it's crushed or broken, there's gold. And sometimes it's only when we're broken do we let the glory out. Sometimes it's our greatest difficulties that we maintain our faith in God. That's when the glory of God shines out most brightly. If you notice the vase I've got on the screen, it's been broken and glued back together. But there's a tradition that they would put gold in the cracks. So the vase became more valuable after being broken, because they fixed it with gold. And I know we have challenges and difficulties. You do, I do, my family does, your family does. But I'm preaching to you what Paul preached to the Corinthian church, that the glory of God is seen in the face of Christ, in the good and in the evil that happened to him, in the blessings and in the challenges. And sometimes we get so caught up at looking at the darkness, we forget that we're supposed to be looking to the light. We get so caught up into looking at the challenges, and we can get so afraid because of the difficulties. Amen. But Paul said, we're pressed down, but we're not destroyed. We're going to be challenged. We're going to be attacked. We're going to be assaulted. We're going to be abused. But if you look back at Jesus, wasn't he challenged? Wasn't he attacked? Wasn't he abused? Wasn't he broken? Amen. Didn't he give his life? And yet we see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We look, I don't know, when's the last time you looked in the face of Jesus? When's the last time you've seen the scars? When's the last time you remembered the challenges that he faced? Stand with me, would you? Anybody in the room ever been afraid that if you got smashed? Right now I'll admit, there's nothing in this vase. It's empty. Don't any of you young men go to my office and smash this hoping to get gold out of it. That's not what I'm preaching. Anybody ever worried that God doesn't see or God doesn't know, or the God that was challenged himself, the God that was rejected himself, the God that came down to save mankind, and there was not a man that raised his hand and said, no, this is wrong. No one spoke for him at his execution. No one spoke for him at his trial. And yet, when you look and see his face, you see the glory of God in the face of Jesus. I wish we'd sing the song that we started church with this morning. Rose, I think you sang it. Would you come up? Amen. I thought this was such a beautiful song that fits so well. And I'm telling you, I don't know why, but I'm extremely moved in the Holy Ghost. Amen. That out of this earthen vessel, that out of this common everyday man, the glory of God could exist. That the presence of the Lord would inhabit, amen, this earthen vessel. That earthen vessel. The earthen vessel that stands in that shoe leather that you're wearing. And yet that's exactly what God intended. That he would show forth his glory through you. Amen. Would you sing?
You're worthy of it all.
Altar's open. Amen. If you want to come down, you're welcome to come and join us. Amen. Give God glory. Hallelujah.
For from you are all things, and to you are all things.
You deserve the glory.
Come on, sing it to the Lord. Amen. Worthy of it all. Join me, put your hands in the air and give it to the Lord. Amen. God, you're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all.
For from you are all things, and to you are all things.
You deserve the glory.
One more time, let's sing.
You're
worthy of it all.
God, we praise you.
For from you.
Let's worship him together. God, I praise you. This scripture is not asking anything of you. It's not demanding you do anything. It's not challenging you to do anything. It's just saying this is the way it is. It's not about us. It's about him. Amen. Let my life reflect his glory. God, let my challenges reflect your glory. Let me respond in a way that gives glory to you. Not for me. Not about me. Not about the pot. It's about what's in the pot that matters. Amen. God, use me. God, lead me. If you challenge me, God, it's only because you believe that I can get through that challenge to give glory to God. I pray, God, that you would help us to be in our minds and our hearts aware that we're just vessels for your glory. Our world needs to see the face of Jesus Christ. May our world see it in you. May our world see the face of Jesus Christ and the glory of God in our behavior, in our conversation, in our faithfulness in difficulties and trials. Let the glory of God be released in Elkhart, Indiana. Our world needs to see the glory of God. I want to pray for us right now before we are dismissed. God, I feel your presence so strongly. I don't know, God, what you lay in front of us. Amen. But we want to see the glory of God. We want to see healings of cancer. God, we want to see miracles of salvation. Every salvation is a miracle. God, we want to share the good news of Jesus Christ. I pray you'd give us openings, opportunities, hungry people. God, you've been bringing people into my life. I'm so thankful, amen, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. I pray, God, that you would help us, amen, to shine forth your glory out of our earthen vessels. In Jesus' great name we pray. I thank you, Lord, for that. I praise you for it. Amen. 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 Praise God. Isn't it amazing that he chose you to put his spirit in? Isn't that amazing? Doesn't that just blow you away sometimes? Amen. God bless you. Thank you for joining with us. Turn around, somebody, shake their hand, tell them you love them with the love of the Lord. Amen. God bless you.
If you can use anything, Lord. you can use.